Hey guys, I'm Lee, and this is a podcast about poetry. Bam, boom, intro episode done, and knocked out the park, if I do say so myself. That's it. Bye. See y'all later. Actually, no. I'm really excited to finally be doing this after months, and I mean literally months of brainstorming. You may be asking, you know, sis, why would it take you this long to come up with a podcast about poetry? It's kind of a simple concept. You may also not be asking yourself, you know, anything because you don't care. But I'm going to answer that question. If you've been with me for years, you know, if you know the doll, okay, you know I made a podcast a long time ago about women's reproductive health and rights. That's still an issue I feel very passionately about. But something about me that I do like but can sometimes bite me in the ass is I'm big on, like, you know, turning lemons into lemonade, turning what I've been through into something productive. When I created that podcast, I was dealing with the ramifications of a very poor reaction to birth control. And so I was looking to take some of my power back by arming myself with knowledge and feeling like I was also arming other women with that knowledge and, you know, men too, because woo, a lot of y'all do not know the female form, and that's on period. But I think when you create something that comes from a place of anguish and unhappiness, one of two things can happen. You can either turn it into a full-fledged life's mission and passion, which is great, or that ambition that you had for that work fades as the trauma or the unhappiness deriving from that issue fades. And the latter happened with me. I just kind of lost a lot of my drive to keep pushing that content out because I felt like that season it was related to had come to an end. So fast forward to 2020, you know, coming off 2019. And now before I say this, I consider it very reasonable to argue that 2020 is nothing short of a shit show, okay? But there's something very communal about 2020. We're all navigating this new world that the coronavirus is forcing us to forge. But my 2019, on the other hand, was riddled with deeply personal feelings of loss and failure, big changes that I didn't feel ready for or comfortable with, you know, what I consider the time to be squandered aspirations, the whole nine yards. And by the end of the year, I felt just deeply alone and hollowed out, like, you know, 2019 had scooped out the best parts of me and left me with my shell, which may be hella dramatic, okay, but it was how I felt. You know, and we validate feelings around here. So in the spirit of, you know, making lemons into lemonade, I gave myself a little time to pull it together in 2020, okay? Miss Rona definitely had some different plans. I'm not gonna lie, sis caught me off guard. She gotta got me. But I decided that out of the experience I had in 2019, I wanted to create something that's healing. But I wanted what I created to kind of stand the test of time in the sense that even when I've come out of this season of my life, the things I've created within it are still something I want to forge ahead with. I didn't want to leave this behind with my healing like I did last time. So I had to ask myself, what has carried you over and over and over? What do you love that has stood the test of time? What has helped soothe both your closed up wounds and the ones that still sting? And then a James Baldwin quote came to mind. He said, and I feel like a lot of y'all know this quote, "You think your pain and your heartbreak are unprecedented in the history of the world, but then you read. It was books that taught me that the things that tormented me the most were the very things that connected me with all the people who were alive, who had ever been alive." Besides that being an awesome quote, it always makes me think of the word Sonder, which comes from the Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows, which you should all absolutely Google or check in the show notes. But Sonder is defined as the realization that each random passerby is living a life as vivid and complex as your own, populated with their own ambitions, friends, routines, worries, and inherited craziness, an epic story that continues invisibly around you like an anthill sprawling deep underground with elaborate passageways to thousands of other lives that you'll never know existed, in which you might appear only once, as an extra sipping coffee in the background, as a blur of traffic passing on the highway, as a lighted window at dusk. I think literature has this way of reminding us of Sonder by providing that glimpse into those epic stories that continue invisibly all around us, showing us that we, the human race, are all hurting from something, or many things, and that all of us are attempting with the tools we have to find homeostasis in the midst of that pain. Whatever path we've chosen, there's a universe worth of memories, thoughts, feelings, fears, and joys that make up someone's personhood. Poetry, specifically, in my humble opinion, is the epitome of this principle, allowing us a peek into another world, connecting and bonding us briefly with someone or something for the few stanzas it has us. Poetry challenges us to meditate on the simplest, seemingly mundane things many of us are familiar with in our everyday lives, like, you know, a crisp fall afternoon or a morning cup of coffee, and to find their role in our larger human story. And it also challenges us to consider the more complicated, obscure, and unique elements of our existence, like family trauma, racial relations, romantic relationships, making us either feel deeply validated in this striking connectivity we might find in someone else's words, or making a feeling, an experience, a life less foreign to us and more tangible despite the distance it might have to our own existence. I've always loved poetry since my mom taped E. Cummings' poem, Somewhere I've Never Traveled, gladly beyond on our kitchen wall. I have loved poetry through every heartbreak, disappointment, transition, victory, you name it. I've loved poetry before 2019, through 2019, it's spilling in 2020. I'm not new to this, I'm true to this, all that. So this is all a very long-winded way of saying it took me a while, but my brainstorming led me to create this here podcast based on the idea that poetry has been a healing force in this season and in every season of my life. It has outlasted the chapter endings in my life. And so I won't say that I feel like I have an authority to speak on it. I think that's too strong of a word, but maybe just a knowledge base that makes me, you know, a little bit of a credible source, just a touch, you know what I'm saying? As for the name, Poet Breathe Now, it's based on my absolute favorite spoken word poem by Adam Gottlieb, which I'll link in the show notes. In it, he describes breathing as poetry. Breathing, this universal act we all participate in, the first and last thing we do in this world. Breathing is this gift that allows us to push our words out into the ether and share our stories among each other to find and celebrate that mutual existence among one another. I also love Adam's language in that poem, even just the use of the word breathe. I think because of our capitalistic, overproductive society, people feel like, I don't know, they feel this need to constantly be doing, to be creating, to be accomplishing, to be manifesting. I feel like particularly in this time where we're stuck at home, that's a very prevalent feeling among many of us. Adam talks about being stumped on what to write, stumped on how to write a poem, and being reminded that sometimes just existing is enough. Just listening to the sound of your body pulling in air and giving it back out into the ether is a work of cosmic and godly art that is enough to sustain us. We don't always have to be running the streets and, you know, making shit happen, because every minute of every day we're making life happen just by breathing in and out, and that is poetic as hell. Poetry, you know, isn't meant to be this overly complicated, hard to understand, difficult to read, bougie art form. To Adam's point, poetry isn't everything, even the breaths we take, and that makes it a vessel for kinship in this life. It's not meant to disconnect us, it's meant to bring us together. It makes the unfamiliar tangible and the foreign feel like home. I want this podcast to be a meditation on that principle, the idea of Sonder, that we're all living complicated, difficult, fascinating lives, and poetry spotlights that, whether in little moments, short stanzas, or in long, winding sentences that bleed into each other. I want the podcast to make you feel grounded in your experiences, connected to the world around you and worlds beyond you, and maybe, just maybe, it can become part of your routine, whether you read it or write it or both. You could maybe allow it to become a comforting and guiding force in your journey. making you more empathetic, grounded, seen, empowered, all of the above. So in each episode of the podcast, we're going to read a poem and we're going to talk about it. Simple as that. Sometimes I might give a bit of non-mandatory homework, which still sounds a little yucky, so I'll keep working on a cuter name for that. But it's just to encourage you to try your hand at a poem or two, and if you're willing, you can send it my way, and I'll read it out loud on the show, and of course give you your credit for the beautiful thing you created and were so kind to share. And of course, you're always welcome to just listen. No pressure. Poetry is art, and art is meant to be enjoyed as much as it is created. So in this first episode, besides talking my ass off, I actually wanted to start with a little non-mandatory, I don't know what word tried to come out of my mouth, a little non-mandatory poetry homework that I actually came up with for myself and thought it would be a dope thing to share with y'all. This kind of was born of, obviously, things I was going through. I don't know why I'm saying obviously, like, no doubt you're in my life, but this is born of things I weathered in 2019, and I thought often while I was kind of going through this almost like the identity crisis, I thought often about this amazing Stacey Abrams quote. If you recall, Stacey Abrams was a member of the Georgia House of Representatives who ran for governor of the state in 2018. She ran an amazing, groundbreaking campaign that was part of the huge push in the Democratic Party to get more women and more people of color in office, and of course she exists at that intersection. So according to writer Yvette Dion, in April 2018, Abrams told her, "I'm from the home of Fannie Lou Hamer. I'm from a tradition of black women not only speaking truth to power, but believing that's your job. I stand as an inheritor of an extraordinary legacy." I love that quote. I feel like it's a deeply poetic way to express the sentiment that we're all grounded in a foundation that holds together the perception of our lives and their purposes on this earth. Sometimes the remembrance of that foundation can be a very powerful healing tool, whether it tells us to, you know, uproot that foundation to allow something better to take its place, or to remind us to honor that foundation that's already there when we feel like we've gone off course. I don't know, I wanted to challenge myself to remember and consider my own foundation during that time where I was kind of struggling with my identity by using Stacey Abrams' language and describing the homes I'm from, you know, the sets I rep and all that. So, here's what I wrote. "I'm from the home of Sun and Moon and Libra, both rising and falling in Aries' house. A complicated mixture of soft and hard, impulsive but ever questioning, romantic but fearful, harsh but forgiving, attention-seeking but mindful. I never sit in one place for longer than a conversation, moving about with leaping and bounding energy that easily forgets names but never faces. I'm from the home of Toni Morrison and James Baldwin, Nikki Giovanni and the black writers who set my stage and wrote my stories and built my heart for words without ever knowing me. Black writers who don't write for white people and their approval, but write to set something free, even if it's just themselves. I'm from the home of Lori and Bill Cummins, two people with so little in common, but who gifted me the communal language of a pure love, a language that has a relentless ability to connect the equator standing at the helm of people's hearts. I'm from the home of Howard University and every person I share that journey with, black people who found their footing, their voice, their pride in a mutual language of love and respect for our diasporic roots. Black people who felt both the weight of our bloodied existence, but also enjoyed the radical and freeing act of celebrating those who made it and those who fought to. I'm from the home of Ocean, daughter of the river, nurturer of humanity, who moves love with a piece of a lazy river or the destruction of a thrashing rapid, depending on who she's loving. Women who are imperfect but heal, who rise after 1,000 years descending from waters and beckoning men from their storms with only a dance. Women who turn inward to create their magic, wearing the sun on their skin and honey on their hips. Women who aren't vain nor conceited, but simply worthy. Lastly, I'm from the home of Nazareth, the birthplace of the crafter and bearer of a clear and concise existence. Love thy neighbor as thyself, the task from which all else springs, a task that has the power to render something meaningless or breathe a life into it that can cast serpents out the garden and make angels of sinners. I'm from the home of prayer that can make the moon hold in the sky and rain rise back in it, prayer that would meet you in your Gethsemane and soothe you under the shadow of your purpose. I'm from the home of a God who is more merciful than me, a teaching God who repeats what isn't learned, a God who writes our stories in the stars but gives us the glory of choice. So yeah, that's it. That's the little poem. As you can see, it doesn't have like a super traditional structure. It's not a rhyming scheme. You know, that's the cool thing about poetry. It doesn't have to have a stringent kind of beginning, middle, end. It doesn't need to have this structure that you have to abide by. And also, I mean, when you hear the story behind what inspired a particular poem, it can range from just, you know, one morning being really struck by the steam, you know, rising from a cup of tea, or, you know, finding an obscure Stacey Abrams quote while scrolling on Twitter a couple years ago and being like, I like that. So, I don't know. I hope y'all take some time today or tomorrow or the next, you know, we have time, y'all, so don't play me, to consider the Stacey Abrams quote. And then if you're feeling it, write about the homes you're from, the set you rep, whatever you want to call it. Tell the story of your foundation and share it with a loved one or send it my way, or keep it to yourself for yourself. Art isn't always for consumption. Anywho, I am honored you all gave me this time and stuck with me to the end. Take a look at the show notes for this podcast. In it, you'll find, you know, some cool links. And of course your non-mandatory homework assignment for the episode. So yeah, I hope you'll join me for another episode of Poet Breathe Now. Next week we're going to take a look at one of my favorite poets ever. So I hope you'll come back and, read it with me. All right. Hey. See y'all soon.
Yeah, partially functional. Half of me is comfortable. The other half is close to the cliff, like Mrs. Huxtable. These boys got them hostess and clips. They pack like Lunchables, like white boys in grade school. While we ate school-made food, just I ain't.